On the show today, we have Digital Growth Institute's very own James Robert Lay telling us how to get personal with our members, but not creepy. So check it out. Here with CU Broadcast. Welcome to our show, and on today's program we have a very special guest, Mr. James Robert Lay from Digital Growth Institute. How are you, sir?
I'm doing amazing. How are you today, Mike?
I'm doing all right. Doing all right. Thanks for asking. We were both just talking before the recording how much we've been on the road, bouncing around the country from conference to conference and seeing clients and all that type of stuff, and you're kind of in the same boat as well. So, good times.
Airport, hotel, airport, repeat.
Exactly. Rinse and repeat.
Yes.
Yeah, good time. But it's good going out there and seeing people. I mean, we do this digital thing all the time and stuff like that, but there's still nothing better than a face-to-face in-person meeting, and it's just, there's nothing better than connecting. So it's really, really cool to get out there and see everybody.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, I literally just wrapped up one of our group coaching sessions right before hopping on this interview with you. Mm-hmm. And I think four or five of the students are going to be at the Financial Brand Forum next week, where I'm going to be speaking. So I was like, why don't I get my assistant? You'll follow up with you guys. We'll do a, you know, cocktail, happy hour, dinner. I don't know. But because we're doing, you know, training like this remote on video, but it is something still, even in a digital world, connecting people in the flesh, humanity. I think that's the crux of all of this.
Yep, I agree. And that's kind of what we're going to talk about today, is getting personal with your members. And but not creepy, because this is one of the topics you were on a panel recently, and this was kind of one of the things that you talked about, was how to get personal with your members but not creepy, because there's a line you can cross for sure. So what is this? Can you give us a quick kind of summary on what you were talking about there?
So I think with all of this Facebook, you know, in the news, with the use or malpractice use of data and insights, I think this conversation is important more now than even before, whenever I was on this panel discussion at the CUNA Marketing Business Development Council conference. We have, as financial institutions, as credit unions, all of this data and insight literally at our fingertips. We probably know more about a person's life and their shopping, what they're buying, what they're spending on, more than they even know about themselves. And if we can use that to identify trends and patterns to help provide value recommendations to raise where they're at, to get them to a better place, that's goal with this. Data is almost like the Force in Star Wars. It's either good or bad. It's what we do with that data that is good or bad.
Ooh, I think there's a white paper in here somewhere, or a blog post. I think you just stumbled onto something there, James Robert. So why is this so important today? Getting personal. Obviously, I mean, obviously it's, we know getting personal and knowing your members intimately is a really good thing. But in this day and age, like you said, of digital, of automation, we're trying to automate everything and everything's digital. We're doing stuff online, all that type of stuff. Why is being personal, why is that so important right now?
You know, I think when we're talking about all of this technology and digital transformation, we can lose sight of why we're doing this. And really, why we're doing this comes back to the core of, money is stressful. People are stressed. That stress takes a toll on their health, their relationships, their family. They're looking for someone they can trust to guide them beyond that to a better place. That's what we have to keep at our root, because trust is the currency of digital growth.
Ooh, I like that. Yeah.
And if we lose sight of that, and if we get stuck in the technology of the data of the bots, I think we're going to lose our way as a financial institution, as a credit union. I think using digital, particularly for credit unions, and that ideal of people helping people makes more sense now than ever before. And it makes it more applicable now than ever before, because we have the ability to help people more than ever before.
Yeah, I think it's easy to get lost in the digital because we keep hearing about credit unions on their digital journey, whether it's digital marketing or digital transformation using all sorts of different types of technology in mobile and online, all that type of stuff. But it's easy to kind of get carried away with that. But I like your point that we always got to kind of come back to almost our roots and be personal with our members. And that's kind of what they like, even in a world where we're doing digital stuff.
You know, that's why, you know, with the model that we teach and help provide strategy around the digital growth blueprint, at the foundation of that blueprint is purpose. Mm-hmm. Because that purpose is the bridge that says, you know, bridges the gap between a credit union and a financial institution and the people in the communities that they serve, because both sides are driven by very different things. At a financial institution, at a credit union, you know, it is about, you know, new products, new loans, new accounts. Mm-hmm. But on the people side, on the human side, it really boils down to three things. It's their happiness, mm-hmm. their health, mm-hmm. and their wealth. Mm-hmm. And the purpose that is what creates and instills that trust. It bridges that gap. So we mm-hmm. have to keep that purpose constant.
Yep, I agree. I agree with you wholeheartedly. So what are a couple of steps that credit unions can do to, you know, to ensure they're getting personal with their members, but not creepy? So what are a couple of things, suggestions from you?
You know, a couple of like quick wins that I see sure. off the top of my head is to use the first and foremost, let's just go into the core. Mm-hmm. Let's tap the data that we already have. Not call it big data. We'll just call it small data. We'll even just call it data. And look for trends and patterns for those that are paying a third party. Maybe it's Wells Fargo, Chase, Ally Bank, Lexus, Mercedes on a loan, Ford. It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. But that gives us the ability to come back, provide it more of a personalized one-to-one offer saying, hey, you know, we see you're making this payment. We have a good feeling that we can help you save, you know, $80, $100 a month, whatever the case might be. But the way that we have to position that is we can't say we're going to save you money. Mm-hmm. This gets into behavioral economics and psychology. Mm-hmm. We need to actually address the pain point, say something along the messaging of, you know, stop losing $100 a month. We can help because people are more likely to take an action to avoid a loss mm-hmm. than to achieve a gain. It's very weird, but you know, people don't want to have a loss,
right?
And so that's a kind of a quick win right there.
I like that.
On using the data we have, I think the other quick win that I see off the top of my head is using the behavior on our website today. Based upon the pages that people are looking at, mm-hmm. maybe they're looking at an auto loan page and then they look at the rates in the calculator. So we can actually score those behaviors and score those activities. And instead of taking the reactive stance, like so many credit unions have done over mm-hmm. the years,
yeah.
they wait for someone to raise their hand and say, I need help. No, we can take a proactive stance and say, you know, I think we might be able to help get you that auto loan, but it all comes down to the messaging because the messaging can be very, very creepy.
Oh, yeah.
We've seen these pages here. So therefore, we think that we're a good fit. No, it's what can we do to help you? And it's right message, right time mm-hmm. in the consumer buying journey based on that digital behavior. Call it their digital exhaust.
Yeah, I like that. Digital exhaust. You're gonna be busy with your trademarks with all these all these sayings you're coming up with, James Brown. These are really cool stuff. And there's another thing that you keep saying as well is like educate first, sell second, or help first, sell second, kind of something like that. And I think that's a good mantra for credit unions as well. And it sounds like they're doing that as well, especially in the financial education realm.
Yeah, it's not even financial education. It's financial empowerment, financial yeah. wellness. Mm-hmm. I've railed on financial literacy for years. You know, I hate the term because it's basically saying that you're an illiterate person, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You're dumb, you're stupid. And what it boils down to, it's no, there's truly a direct correlation between physical health and financial health and well-being. Yeah. I think that's the next evolution mm-hmm. for credit unions, for financial institutions as a whole. Those that can bridge that gap between mm-hmm. the physical health, the financial health, will be the ones who go much further today than they ever have before. Mm-hmm. So there's some opportunities there that we're having some conversations with with some credit unions and even community banks to help bridge that gap.
Wow. Just spoke with Gigi Hyland yesterday about that very topic, sir. So you're just echoing exactly what she said about bridging the financial health and the and your physical health. So it's they're running neck and neck. So
yeah, you know, I think it was TD Bank did a study a year or two ago, and they really saw the direct correlation. It was, and don't quote the numbers exactly, but it was like 30-40% of men feel confident about their financial health and well-being. It's about the same that feel confident about their physical health and well-being. And it's mm-hmm. like 25% of women feel confident about their financial health, well-being. Mm-hmm. 25%, 30% feel confident about their financial health, right, or their physical health.
Right, right.
So there's that correlation. It's like if we can fix both problems at the same time, mm-hmm. we can really transform lives here. But digital is going to be the component that does that, because specifically, 80-81% of people are starting that financial buying journey online now.
Yeah, I agree. Totally. I think that number is going to just continue to increase as well. I want to switch gears here because I know you got limited time. You're probably off to the airport once again, James Robert. Who knows? But hey, tell us about the latest marketing automation technologies. Why is marketing automation so important, especially when we're in this, and especially when we want to be so personal with our members, but marketing automation is almost a necessity to do this. It's kind of a weird little dichotomy there, but it's a necessity.
It is, and it's becoming more of table stakes today for a credit union. And I think it's even more relevant for a credit union who is maxed out on their marketing capacity, because marketing automation takes a lot of different systems, processes, brings them all underneath one roof, and can help. This is where the personalization comes back into play.
Yeah.
And so the model that we use to teach and strategize around is building something called a digital growth engine. Mm-hmm. You have these four different gears in an engine. You have digital advertising driving traffic to a website that mm-hmm. sells, that generates leads.
Right.
What are we going to do with those leads? Because there's different quality leads. There's marketing qualified leads. There's sales qualified prospects. There's sales qualified leads. And each one of those leads needs to be handled differently. Well, if we have limited resources, we have limited capacity, that's where the next gear comes into place, and that's marketing automation. And then we have sales enablement. Mm-hmm. Well, each one of these gears, what's going to power the fuel of this engine is going to be the helpful content that makes the gears turn.
Yep.
And so what we're seeing with marketing automation, we've spent a lot of time researching the different platforms. There's typically like four or five that we talk around. You have the kind of the entry level, like the Acton marketing automation platform. Mm-hmm. You have more kind of the mid-level, like a HubSpot. You have the Marketo. You're getting into more of the enterprise, Pardot and Eloqua, for example.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
What I'm seeing, though, for credit unions and the clients and the community banks that we're working with, they're really getting a lot of traction with the HubSpot platform because it is more of a mid-level platform.
Yeah.
It's not so basic and it's not so advanced that they're making forward progress. And I think that's the important thing to consider. When we look at the progress we're making, don't look at what you have, you know, still to do on your agenda.
Mm-hmm.
Look at where you've from over the last 30, 60, 90, 180 days. Look behind you to measure progress. Don't look forward. And what I see with HubSpot is that it's unifying even different systems. So now we can build a website on HubSpot. We can use marketing automation to personalize website content and then even take that to the sales and mm-hmm. service side of it.
Yeah.
That's kind of a level overview of the state of marketing automation today.
Okay, cool. And you mentioned obviously HubSpot. I've heard nothing but great things about HubSpot. Been reading about them for a long, long time. So I'm glad you mentioned those guys. What else is out there for credit unions today as far as automation? Is there other tools out there that they could use and things like that you recommend?
Yeah, I mean, so we take that idea of automation into kind of a use case scenario here. Is we can load a list up from the core. Or do an API integration from the core into the marketing automation platform. Mm-hmm. So now we're doing more of account-based marketing or mm-hmm. list-based mm-hmm. marketing, to where we're sending out emails to a specific list. But in addition to sending out those emails, we're tying the marketing automation system into a retargeting or remarketing ad platform. Maybe it's AdRoll. Maybe mm-hmm. it is Facebook Audience Insights, to where it's becoming more multi-channel messaging. So that's one of the ways to look at using automation from a positioning, a lead generation standpoint. The other, I'd say, quick win from a marketing automation is back to the website. So today, credit union, financial, community bank websites have typically one call to action: apply or open the account. Mm-hmm. We need to provide consumers with another path, or maybe a couple different paths, if they're not ready to apply. And so what we're seeing as a quick win is something called a pre-application form. Mm-hmm. First name, last name, email address, phone number. It sits in front of the third party application to where when someone starts the application process, we know abandoned applications run up to 80-85%.
That's a big number.
No one is really following up with these prospects. And in one particular instance, we've had a client implement the system and they're getting about a 70-75% open rate on those emails that are being sent out automatically for those that don't finish the application. That's marketing automation in action.
Wow. Oh my, 75%? Holy smokes. That's usually you're hoping for like 10%, 15%.
It's needs based. And so you complement that external system and process with an internal system and process to where marketing automation picks up, you know, what a person needs to do internally.
So
if someone abandons the form, marketing automation sends off the external emails, but it's also firing off internal emails to the right people saying, you have a hot lead, they abandon, pick the phone, give them a call, see what you can do to help. And in one particular instance, I just heard this in the group coaching, they've implemented this system and the person responded, well, I abandoned, it was too complicated, I got frustrated, I tried calling in, but it took too long to get in touch with the person, so I just went with someone else online. Mm-hmm. and it's all about, this really gets into the central core of this, is mapping out consumer journeys. Because this boils down to digital experience. An experience is nothing more than a well-defined process that has been optimized and refined over time.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Wow. That's a great, great anecdote, James Robert. Very cool. So I love hearing stories like that. Hey, anything else? I'm going to give you guys a quick plug. What are you guys working on there at Digital Growth Institute? What's going on in your neck of the woods?
Oh my gosh. Well, you know, a lot of speaking, conference events, doing on-site planning strategy engagements with credit unions, community banks. Let's see, you got Financial Brand coming up, speaking there. CU Water Cooler doing the Q's Strategic School of Marketing 1 and 2. CU, was it the Leadership Conference out in Vegas? So a lot happening over the summer. We're going to be launching our Digital Growth University, I think scheduled for July, to continue to help educate and just provide that sense of awareness. Because as financial institutions go through this journey, they're not doing it alone. And so through this Digital Growth University program, we're bringing different financial institutions together to where there's accountability. They're meeting on a bi-weekly basis in a group coaching session. And then you can take that to the next level with planning. So it really boils down to just training, education, and strategy is the first steps. And then once you kind of get a general sense of awareness of this is where I'm at, this is where I can go, then we can worry about turning that insight into action with implementation.
Wow. Very cool. Yeah, because it's sometimes the digital marketing journey in this case is kind of confusing. There's a lot of tools out there that somebody could use but may not be particularly right for their needs. So it's pretty cool that you're going to help them kind of clarify what's right and what's wrong.
Yeah, the only way to escape complexity is through a path of simplicity.
Yep. My gosh. You are loaded with them today, James Robert. Wow. Another quote of the day. I love it. All right, sir. And where can we find out more information on that? Is it digitalgrowth.com? Is that the correct website?
Yep, digitalgrowth.com. Get all our education, informational resources, and we're here to help.
Very cool. All right, sir. Great message to end on, and keep up the good work, and we will check you out online and see you at probably one of the conferences coming up. James Robert, thanks again.
Sure. Thanks for having me. Cheers.
You're welcome.